éternel. Jéhovah éternel. Alléluia. Resisting Satan in every aspect of our gathering. Right now, we declare the kingdom of God in this place. And we ask that your will be done as it is done in heaven. Almighty God, we ask, oh God, that every presence, every entity, every spirit or system that stands in opposition to the kingdom of God, all in rebellion to the Lordship of Jesus, let them be incapacitated at this moment. May they not have any effect in our gathering. Let there be no influence of darkness, whether by remote or by present. Thank you, O God.
Hallelujah.
We are asking today that you will empower the people, the vessel that you have selected to minister to us.
Hallelujah.
Open their mouth, give them insight into the word of God, mm-hmm. that they will speak as an oracle of the Most High. That when we hear, we will not be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. Thank you for answering our prayer. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we can start if we have some questions from what we had yesterday. I think there are some questions.
Okay, from yesterday?
Yes, from yesterday.
Okay.
I
would think that we'll start, you know, probably by the time we're through today, maybe some questions of yesterday would have been answered, and then if there are still questions, then we'll now take them.
So in this case, if you can a brief summarize of what
yesterday.
Yes.
It will, today is an expansion
of
yesterday, you know, so praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I would like to stand.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable this way. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just pray. Yes. Okay, here. Okay. Oh, beautiful. So I can see everybody's face. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of coming into your presence, for the privilege of having access to you. He said, where two or three gather together in my name, that there I am in the midst of them. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit that will usher us into a place in you tonight. We ask to move into deeper dimensions. We ask to move into higher dimensions. That tonight, with our spirit, we will comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of God. To know Christ, that Christ be revealed to us tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We just pray tonight that our spirit man will capture you tonight, that we might apprehend that for which you have apprehended us in the name of Jesus Christ. We just bless you tonight. Anoint our ears tonight to hear. Anoint our eyes to see. Anoint our hearts to believe, to comprehend in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Have your way tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We thank God for today. It's a privilege. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For us to gather together unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when we do this, something happens. We change location. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We think that we are in this house here. But actually, we are somewhere else. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We are all in our spirit now. We are lifted into another dimension. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Where we can perceive and, you know, interact with things that the eyes cannot see. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We have grown so used to, you know, functioning with our natural senses that God has to begin to win us, as it were. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
To begin to function in a different dimension. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Praise the name of the Lord. God is inviting the church, praise the name of the Lord, to move from being children and to become matured people. He said, in our understanding, we should be like men. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Hallelujah. We're going to take that as our starting point and focus our thoughts there. And from there, we're beginning a journey into God. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to go far into Christ tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 8, I'll read from verse 1 to the end. Hallelujah. Are we there? Psalm 8, yes, from verse 1 to the end. Yes, please. Are we there? Praise the Lord. I read. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. A man was contemplating, he was reflecting on the glory of God, the things that God has made. Praise the name of the Lord. And he was considering, what kind of being must have created these things? Praise the name of the Lord. What kind of person, what kind of being, how great can he be to have made the earth and the heavens and the moon and the stars? Praise the name of the Lord. And while he was reflecting on all this, he began to reflect on man. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, he said, such a great and a mighty creator, a being that you cannot fathom, pays so much attention to man. Praise the name of the Lord. When you consider how small you are in relation to the world, praise the name of the Lord. I mean, if you're on the aircraft, hallelujah, 33,000 feet up, you can't see a man. I mean, compared to what God has made. And yet, when you look beyond, you can't even see the end of the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. And yet, you cannot see man. The earth is so vast, man is so little. But this God, praise the name of the Lord, goes to a man. The Bible says that God came to a man called Abraham. Praise the name of the Lord. He came to him and called him by name. Say, Abraham, come. I want to be your friend. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be my friend. I want to tell you the things I have in my heart, the plans I have, the programs I have, and I want you to tell me the things that are in your heart. I want us to work together and be friends. Praise the name of the Lord. Then you ask yourself, why? Hallelujah. Why would God take such interest in man? What is man? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's what we're going to look at, consider tonight. What is man? Praise the name of the Lord. This creature that you see that has one head, two eyes, two hands, two legs, hallelujah, walking up and down. What is he? Why is the Creator so much interested in this man? Praise the name of the Lord. Why did he have to, you know, leave his throne, come down to this man, seek this man? You know, you see that you visit him every morning. Every step that he takes, you are aware of it. You see that not one hair of his head will fall to the ground. You know about it. There must be something about man, praise the name of the Lord, that makes him so important to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? There must be something. God does not need you. Hallelujah. But he's still taking so much time. If you look at the time that God invests in you, the kind of attention he pays to you personally, he knows about every problem, he gives it personal attention. You tell him this, he attends to it. You tell him that, he gives you so much attention. What is man? Man was made lower than the angels. Hallelujah. But yet God gives more attention to man than the angels. He said that the angels should serve man. Are we together? The angels are messengers to serve this man, to watch over him. The angels are stronger, mightier in power. But yet they said, let all the angels do what? Let them serve. They are messengers to serve you. So who is this man? What is this creature? Now, I believe that when we begin to understand who what man is, praise the name of the Lord, it will help us to begin to put ourselves in a position whereby the thought of God's heart for man can be fulfilled. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to understand who we are. Because when God made man, praise the name of the Lord, he had a purpose. Hallelujah. He had a plan. There was a reason. We cannot go into the depths and dimensions of that. But I would like to say this in passing, that there was a rebellion before man was created. Praise the name of the Lord. A man was created to vindicate God. Praise the name of the Lord. Certain allegations were raised against God. Certain accusations, certain slander on his person and his integrity and his character and his motive. And God raised up man, created man, so that man would by his life prove and vindicate God. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. So when God made man, now we read from the book of Genesis that he made man. He said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we begin to wonder, what is God's image? Praise the name of the Lord. Does God have two legs like this? What do you think? Does he have a head like this? How does God look? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, certain people in our imaginations, we try to imagine God. And God wants us that we should not imagine him. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, there's nothing around that can look like God, compared to God. Because God is a spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. That's the first thing all of us must understand. God is a spirit. He's not, you understand, like this. He does not. When God relates with you, he does not see the way you see. The Bible said, a man looketh on the outward. When I see Brother Bob, you understand, I'm seeing his face. You understand the point? When I'm describing him, I would describe how he looks. Tall, fair, short, dark. He said, a man looketh on the outward. But that God looketh what? On the heart. That's where God looks when he sees you. He doesn't see how tall, how short you are. He couldn't be bothered. Praise the name of the Lord. He looketh what? On the heart. When God describes you, he describes your personality. He describes your character. That's why if you look at the scriptures, men were called names according to their character. See, they shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, Yeshua, means the salvation of Jehovah. Praise the name of the Lord. So God looketh on the heart. God sees hearts. God sees hearts. Doesn't know the clothes you wear. He sees your heart. Because he sees from his own dimension. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So God said, let us make man in our own image. So what is the image of God? Praise the name of the Lord. The image of God is his personality. Praise the name of the Lord. His what? Personality. His nature. His character. His attributes. Praise the name of the Lord. He wanted to make a being that will share the same nature with him. Praise the name of the Lord. That will have the same character with him. That will think the way he thinks. See the way he sees. Reason the way he reasons. Hallelujah. Like the thing that he likes. Do you understand that? Somebody that he could fellowship with. You would like to fellowship somebody who shares the same interest with you, isn't it? The person who sees things the way you see. The person who likes the things you like. You understand that? The person who is interested in the things that you are what? Interested in. So the image of God is God's personality. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, praise the name of the Lord, verse 2, he says that Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. Praise the name of the Lord. And we said the other day that That word express image is the Greek word character. Praise the name of the Lord. If you have a concordance, you will search it out. Hallelujah. The word Jesus is the character of the invisible God. He came to reveal God's character. Praise the name of the Lord. That is why he came, to reveal God's personality, to reveal God's nature. From there, you know that God loves men. You understand that? He wants to heal the sick. He wants to provide for our needs. You understand? When Lazarus died, he wept. You begin to see that God is involved. He wants to get him. Jesus got involved in the lives of men. Praise the name of the Lord. He met a woman called Mary Magdalene. She was a harlot. Praise the name of the Lord. When Jesus got involved with her, something happened to her. Hallelujah. Her life was completely changed. That's, you know, God in action, God's character, God's personality reflected in Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? And so this is what is in God's mind. He wants to have a people who share the same character, who share the same spirit, who share the same life with him. From day one, that is God's plan for man. And I want to assure you that God has proposed that he's going to have a people like that on this earth. Praise the name of the Lord, who look like him. Hallelujah. That's the first thing you must note. God says, let us make man in our own image. He will have men upon this earth. The Bible says that the earnest expectation of humanity, they are waiting for this people. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is God's target. That is God's goal. That is where God is heading for. That is the church. When he says a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish, is a people in the image and the likeness of God. So this is the vision that God is trying to bring to the church today. That God is saying, as I'm running up my program, hallelujah, I'm going to have a people that look like me. That is the invitation that God is sending across to all of us here. Praise the name of the Lord. That if we begin to open up to God, if we begin to respond to God, if we begin to hear what God is saying, God is going to work such a transformation in your personality. Hallelujah. That just like Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. There will be a people on this earth who will say, if you have seen me, you have seen my Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. That is God's desire. That is God's purpose. God is not interested in building churches. Hallelujah. The church is only an instrument through which God will, you understand, change and bring a people to look like him. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand that. Anything is just an instrument through which God will transform men. It's a platform through which change must take place in you. Church must not become an idol. Do you understand that? Or image in itself. It's a platform. Just like what we have here is a platform through which the word of God can come to us and change us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so this is what is in the heart of God. And so when God began to make this man, the Bible tells us that he went down to the dust of the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. And he began to mold man. He began to form this man. And when he finished, he had something that looked like me and you. Praise the name of the Lord. Lying on the ground. But there was something not fully complete about that man. The man was lifeless. Handsome. Hallelujah. But lifeless. Praise the name of the Lord. And so God says, no. You need to do something more to this man. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible said that God breathed into the man the breath of life. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible said that man became a living soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what that meant was that God took something from himself. Hallelujah. And put into that man. We're going to see what he put into that man and why he put what he put into that man. Praise the name of the Lord. He breathed into him. And you see, that act of God's spirit, hallelujah, or God's breath, coming into the man, touching his body, created a part of man, another being, entity. This is what we call the soul. Hallelujah. So God, man was made up of three parts. His spirit, his soul, and his body. I'm going to give you a few scriptures, but let's just explain this. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the spirit of man is like a transmitter, a radio. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. A radio. You know, a radio, you have two types. You have a transmitter and you have a receiver. Now, man's spirit is both. It's a transmitter and a receiver. With it, man could interact with a different dimension. The realm of the spirit is not this dimension. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a different dimension altogether. Without a spirit, man cannot cross over. Praise the name of the Lord. That world is a different world altogether. Hallelujah. But with your spirit, hallelujah, you can touch God. Praise the name of the Lord. You can transmit to God. When you pray, you are communicating with a different dimension altogether. You can relate with that realm. You can communicate with that realm. And also, you can receive from that realm. Hallelujah. You can hear things that ordinary people cannot hear. Praise the name of the Lord. So when God made man, the Spirit of God dwelt in man's spirit. Hallelujah. A man's spirit dwelt in man's soul. A man's soul dwelt in man's body. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So the body housed the soul, and the soul housed the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. And God's man's spirit housed the Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. He said that the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. That we are the sons of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, man's soul will possess the life of God that is in man's spirit, and then manifest it through the body. Praise the name of the Lord. The body is basically a vehicle for the expression of life. Praise the name of the Lord. It's simply a vehicle. Whatever life that is dominating your soul is the life that this body will express. Praise the name of the Lord. So my soul will get into my spirit, possess God's life. Hallelujah. And then use my body to do what? To express it, to manifest it, to reveal it to my environment. So with my spirit, I relate to God, to the heavens, to the realm of the spirit. With my body, I relate to this physical environment. Praise the name of the Lord. I see things around. I feel things. I have five senses. Now, I'm trying to explain this so that we understand who we are, this being that is called man. Praise the name of the Lord. Then my soul, that's my personality. Praise the name of the Lord. That's where I am conscious of myself. I am aware of myself. That's where I have my feelings. Praise the name of the Lord. When I receive signals from around the environment, I interpret them in my soul. That's how it affects me. Praise. I have my feelings in my soul. I like something. I love something. Praise the name of the Lord. It's my emotion. That's my person. Praise the name of the Lord. My desire. The things I want. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to have a big house. That's my desire. Praise the name of the Lord. My mind. That's my thinking, my reasoning. Praise the name of the Lord. My memory, my imagination. I can create things in my mind. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Then my will. I won't do this. You understand that? I will do this. I don't want to do this. I will not do this. I will not go to that place. I will come back. I'm making a choice. It's in my will. So a man's personality is in his soul. Praise the name of the Lord. The soul is the seat of character. Your behavior, what you are, is your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. So man was made a soul, but he has a spirit, and he lives in a body. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we had to learn this as we study the scriptures. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, man sinned against God. Let's cut the story a little bit shorter. Praise the name of the Lord. Man sinned against God. When man sinned against God, something happened to him. Praise the name of the Lord. God told man, say that the day you eat this fruit. Now, the Hebrew says, in dying, you shall die. That's what the Hebrew, you understand, says. You know, King James says, you shall die. Hebrew word says, in dying, you shall die. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, man ate that fruit. And that day, he died. The first part of him that died was his spirit. He died just like that. It was like a light. You switch off the light. Praise the name of the Lord. The moment he did that, it was like he had been disconnected from the source of power, the source of light, the energy, the source of everything. He was disconnected. Praise the name of the Lord. For the first time after Adam ate that fruit, he became afraid. Do you understand? He had never known fear before. He became confused. For the first time, he was confused. He didn't know what to do. Hallelujah. Because the light that was shining upon him, that used to give him direction. Job said that there is a spirit in a man. Hallelujah. That the breath of the Almighty gives me life. That spirit directed him. That spirit inspired him. That spirit, you know, in fact, he got all his light from the spirit that was within him, that the spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. That day that man sinned, that light went off. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the book of Proverbs chapter 20, from Corinth 20, you know, 7. Yes. He said that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. I don't know if you have read that before. Let's look at it. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's do that quickly. Proverbs chapter 20, verse what now? 20:27. Praise the name of the Lord. Quickly, are we there? Are we there? It says the spirit of a man is the lamp. The word candle there should be better translated lamp. Praise the name of the Lord. The spirit of a man is what now? The lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Praise the name of the Lord. The inward parts of the belly speak about your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So the spirit of a man is God's lamp. When God created man, he lit a lamp within man. Praise the name of the Lord. That's your spirit. That is what those seven lampstands you see. Praise the name of the Lord is your spirit man. As the lamps are burning, the light of God is shining into the temple of your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, let your lamps be what? Burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your lamps be what? Burning continually. So that notice that in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, there was a lamp, right? In the holy place. Am I correct? Am I correct? Praise the name of the Lord. It was the duty of the priest to put oil there continuously. Praise the name of the Lord. To make sure that that light does not what? Go out. Praise the name of the Lord. So within your spirit, there is a lamp. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible calls it the seven spirits of God. Hello? Are we together? Okay, praise the name of the Lord. It's the spirit of wisdom in Isaiah chapter... Yes, there's the same, you know, Isaiah chapter 11. If I'm correct, Isaiah chapter 11. And then Revelation. Is it Isaiah 11? And said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Praise the name of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, here it's described in Revelation, it's called the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit. Hallelujah. One spirit, seven branches. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And so we see that this spirit is giving light to the soul. Without the spirit, the soul, darkness comes upon the soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Without your spirit, darkness comes upon your soul. So when man sinned, that lamp was what? It went out. You know, the Bible said that the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. I'm sure you read that in your Bible before. Praise the name of the Lord. The lamp of the wicked shall be put out. And so darkness came upon man's soul. He died first in his spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. that day that he sinned, that death was an instantaneous thing. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, that death began to spread to his soul. That first death was a spiritual death. The death that came to the man's soul was a moral death. The second aspect of it in his soul. But the death in the soul was a gradual process. It was like a decay. Praise the name of the Lord. The character of man, if you look at from Genesis, when man was created, chapter 2, by the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, at the time of Noah, he said that man had corrupted his way. Praise the name of the Lord. He said all flesh had corrupted his way. He said that the imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was what? Evil continuously. The mind had become so twisted that he could not think straight anymore. It was thinking evil and wickedness. It was like a canker. In the scriptures, it's called the bondage of corruption. It entered the soul and began to distort the personality. Yesterday, we were talking about the living creatures. Praise the name of the Lord. When those creatures were made, they were creatures of light. They responded to light. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, but when man sinned and the light went off, those creatures became creatures of darkness. Their personality began to adapt. The soul of man has a capacity to adapt. That's why I say that evil communication can corrupt good morals. Do you understand that? When you begin to feed your soul, if you have a little child, do you understand? And the child begins to associate with bad friends, watch bad films and all that, that begins to shape the character of that child. Do you understand that? The personality of that child begins to undergo what? A change, the transformation. Suddenly the behavioral pattern does what? Changes. A change has taken place in the soul. Praise the name of the Lord. And so this also happened because light had gone out, darkness had taken over. Praise the name of the Lord. Corruption and decay. If you take a good look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21, praise the name of the Lord, you can write it down. Now the Bible tells us that man, when God made him, praise the name of the Lord, he knew God, but he refused to worship God as God. Praise the name of the Lord. And he exchanged his glory, we're going to talk about that later, for four-footed images of beasts and animals and all that. And God gave him over to the desires and the lust of his own heart. That man began to change and change and change, so that men, you know, no longer related with women. Men began to relate with men and all that. Man underwent a change because he refused light and chose darkness. So those creatures now became creatures of what now? Of darkness. Their personality was darkness. So that when God, who is light, began to come, praise the name of the Lord, this man that used to love the presence of God began to run away from God. Praise the name of the Lord. Why? Because he had become what? Darkness. He said that this is a condemnation, that light came into the world, but that men loved darkness. Do you understand? Because their deeds were what? We are evil. The soul had undergone a change. That's why an unbeliever is not comfortable with the gospel. Praise the name of the Lord. When the word of God begins to come, it is light. But there's something within his soul that does not want this light. And so he rejects it. He reacts violently to the light. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Okay. So the soul of man began to die. The final part of death is the death here in the body. Praise the name of the Lord. The one we are very conversant with. When you say he's dead, we're actually saying that the body has finally, you understand, given up. But that's not when the man started dying. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So we have spiritual death, we have moral death, and we have physical death. Praise the name of the Lord. Now also, when God begins to recover a man, he starts in your spirit. Do you understand that? That's where the business always starts. The light of God, the spirit of God, begins to return back to your spirit. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus touches your spirit. Hallelujah. And your spirit does what? It comes alive again. Hallelujah. It's just like a radio that you remove the battery. Now you put the battery back again. The radio is connected back to life. The radio begins to, you understand, function again. That happens like this. Praise the name of the Lord. The moment you receive Jesus into your life, praise the name of the Lord, life comes into your spirit. But that is just the beginning. Hallelujah. Your soul is where the main business is. Praise the name of the Lord. Because that's where your personality is. That's where your character is. And that's where God wants to dwell. Praise the name of the Lord. It's just like when Israel left Egypt. They came out of Egypt. They were born again after they crossed the Red Sea. But the main journey was in the wilderness. It was a long journey. Hallelujah. That is the business of the salvation of what? The soul. When the soul was created, it was a garden. Hallelujah. What you see in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. The garden that God put man. Hallelujah. Man, the soul of man was actually that garden. Praise the name of the Lord. Even though he was also in a garden. You know, you have what they call the principle of double reference. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why the Bible said there was a river that came to water the garden. That river parted into four heads. Hallelujah. One was watering the mind. One was watering the emotions. One was watering the desire. God's spirit ministers to your soul. Hallelujah. God wants to touch your mind, touch your emotion, touch your will, touch your desire. Change your personality. So that you draw your energy. Somebody says, how precious, O Lord, is your unfailing love. That's Psalm 32, if I'm correct. He said, we feed from the abundance of your house. Hallelujah. We drink from your rivers of delight. This river, they say the river of your pleasure, or the river of Eden. Eden means delight. Praise the name of the Lord. It means pleasantness. It means pleasure. He said that God said you have created all things for your pleasure. Praise the name of the Lord. So he said we drink of this river. As we are talking now, there's a river flowing. Hallelujah. He said that he that believeth out of his belly shall flow forth what? Rivers of living water. To water the garden. But you see, when man sinned against God, God vacated that garden. That garden became a wilderness. Praise the name of the Lord. It became a desolate wilderness. That desert that the children of Israel had to cross was the desert of their own hearts. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that God would help us. Amen. Every experience you see them passing through was something that had to do with our personality. Praise the name of the Lord. For instance, God wanted to show them the bitterness in their hearts. Hallelujah. And there was no water. And they began to grumble and murmur and complain. And, you know, so eventually God now brought them to water. When they drank the water was very bitter. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, God wants to change our soul. In doing that, he uses circumstances and situations, praise the name of the Lord, to reveal what we are. You think maybe, oh, is that brother? He's always offending me. The problem is not the brother. The problem is you. There's a problem where? In your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Only that brother's action revealed the bitterness that is where? In your heart. And God will use it to reveal that bitterness so that you know that it is there and so that you can repent of it and ask God to do what? To heal that bitterness. Praise the name of the Lord. God showed him a tree. Say, cut this tree and throw it into the waters. Hallelujah. That tree represents the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That experience is what God will use to transform your soul. Paul said, I die what? Daily. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so you find out that God is interested in changing our personality. And we're going to move forward a little more. We know about the body. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll not talk too much about this body. But this body is the house. The house is the soul. Praise the name of the Lord. The house is the spirit. So the Bible tells us that our body is a temple of what now? The living God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, God says something here, very peculiar. He says that, when I consider man, the work of your hands. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says that you have made him to have dominion. Hallelujah. Over the works of your hands. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's get this clear. When I relate to people, hallelujah, is my soul that, you know, for instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, my relationship with God, it said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Your mind, your emotion, your desire, and your will. Hallelujah. Must, you know, focus on God. That's what we see in Revelation chapter 4. We quoted yesterday. Those living creatures, they are always focused on the throne and on him who sits on the throne. They do not rest day and night. Praise the name of the Lord. But they worship him. They continue to focus on him. My mind meditates on the Lord day and night. He said, my soul, I have desired you. Praise the name of the Lord. I desire God. God wants to create. He said, bless that day that hunger. Do you understand? And thirst. The soul thirsts for God. Praise the name of the Lord. The soul must thirst for God. If the soul is not thirsting for God, it is thirsting for other things. Praise the name of the Lord. The allurement that the enemy puts on this world, he allures men through their soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Through the lusts of their hearts, the desires of their heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So we find out that the soul is the battleground between God, the kingdom of light, do you understand that, and the devil. It's the soul. They are battling for the soul. Whoever has control of your soul has control of your personality, has you. Jesus said, love not the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father, what, is not in him, the soul. So the enemy has been working very hard to capture the souls of men. He can capture it through, you know, all the kinds of entertainment. Praise the name of the Lord. He captures their attention. He captures their desire. So men are not desiring God. They are desiring football. Praise the name of the Lord. They are not desiring God. They are desiring entertainment. They are not desiring God. They are watching movies. Praise the name of the Lord. He's capturing their heart. Is fixed and set on these things. God created you so that your heart, your soul, be fixed on him. Amen. Hallelujah. Your, in fact, it says that your satisfaction is God. Your soul eats. Praise the name of the Lord. Every part of your body, your spirit, your soul, your body feeds. Do you understand that? You eat. Your mind can be feeding on things. Whatever gives you pleasure, you are eating of it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your mind can feast on something. You eat with your mind. The thing you find so much joy doing. In fact, the Lord says, find your joy in me. Praise the name of the Lord. When we gather here, and we begin to worship God. Hallelujah. We are eating. Do you understand that? My spirit man is drawing from God. I'm drinking of the river of life. Hallelujah. As I'm worshiping God, I feel joy within me. I love doing it. Hallelujah. You know, there's something that draws me. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because my whole being is what? Is feeding on God. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? What does your soul feed upon? Praise the name of the Lord. As you see men walking up and down, you understand? Sometimes you see them focus on something. They're watching it with rapt attention. They are actually doing what? They are feeding. They are finding satisfaction. They are finding food. Jesus said, my meat is to do the Father's will. He was saying, my satisfaction, with my enjoyment, is to do the Father's will. What is your meat? That tells you the condition of your what now? Your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Our desire, said, you must love the Lord your God. With what now? All. Not half of it. So that half loves God and half loves the world. That's halting between two opinions. The Lord wants to capture your heart. Whole and what? An entire. Praise the name of the Lord. Our soul. He said that the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He said he restored my what? My soul. He wants to bring it back to its former relationship. Praise the name of the Lord. He said that the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. What now? Converting the soul. He wants to change the soul from a condition of corruption and return it back to a condition where Adam used to be very comfortable with God. Praise the name of the Lord. He used to desire, wait for God to come for their regular, what now? Fellowship. Praise the name of the Lord. But something happened. And then God began to come. And Adam began to do what? He began to run away. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this is man. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord wants to capture your soul. Let that be what you have learned today. Praise the name of the Lord. So that those living creatures begin to turn to light. Hallelujah. For many, those creatures have become creatures of what now? Of darkness. They have an appetite for ugly things. They have an appetite. A man sits down to watch a pornographic film. Praise the name of the Lord. The soul has adapted to filthiness, uncleanness. Do you understand that? You know, evil. There are some, they love to see people hurt each other. Praise the name of the Lord. There are people whose desire is to speak nasty words to you and want to see you cry and they feel happy. You know, it means that the soul has become twisted and perverted. Do you understand that? It has undergone a change. It's no longer normal. In fact, it has become a beast. Praise the name of the Lord. Actually, when the Bible speaks about the beast, hallelujah, it's not speaking of any animal somewhere. It speaks of a personality of man. Praise the name of the Lord. Man has a capacity for wickedness beyond what it can imagine. Praise the name of the Lord, because the soul has undergone a transformation. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see God saying something very, very peculiar. He said that thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Praise the name of the Lord. Over the birds, over the beasts, over the creeping things, and over the fishes of the sea. In fact, when God created man, he said, let him have what? Dominion. Over the birds of the air, over the fishes of the sea, over the beasts of the field, over the creeping things, and then over the fish of the sea. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, you would think that God made man to be a hunter. I mean, at first glance. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? At first glance, you would think that God made man to be a hunter. That all he was going to be doing was to chase birds and beasts. Do you understand? And creepy things and all that. But you will take another look again. Praise the name of the Lord. In the book of Romans chapter 1, he says that the invisible things of God. Let me see what verse that is. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Is that verse 15? Verse 20. Romans 1:20. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the invisible things of God, his nature, his character, can be seen and understood from the things that he has made. Praise the name of the Lord. So God's creation reveals God. Amen. You can look around the sun, the moon, and the stars, the animals, the trees, the plants, and you can see God's personality manifested and expressed in those things. And so when Jesus began to teach us about the heavenly things, he used earthly things. Is that correct? He used natural things to explain spiritual things to us. Praise the name of the Lord. Because these invisible things can be understood and seen from the things that God has made. Praise the name of the Lord. So God said, let us make man and let him have dominion. Praise the name of the Lord. Have victory, overcome these things. So what was man supposed to have dominion over? The lion? The eagle? No. God has something much more in mind. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, let him have dominion over the birds of the air. Was he speaking about these birds flying in the sky? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus taught a parable. He said that a sower went forth to sow seed. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible says he sowed, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Praise the name of the Lord. And he said that the fowls of the air, the birds of the air came and did what? And picked up those seeds. So when he was now trying to expound on that, praise the name of the Lord, he said that seed that fell by the wayside was speaking about certain individuals who hear the word of God. Now, because they're not able to understand it and keep that word, that the enemy, the devil, evil spirits, praise the name of the Lord, come and do what? And take it from him. Praise the name of the Lord. We're speaking about birds now. Praise the name of the Lord. We're speaking about birds of the air came and took it. So we're speaking about spirits. We're speaking about spirits that have to do with pride. Hallelujah. High-mindedness. Conceit. Arrogance. Being puffed off. Praise the name of the Lord. Deception. Now, you are to have dominion over these things. Praise the name of the Lord. He says, be not proud. Be not conceited. Hallelujah. There are spirits. These are natures. These are spirits. That man, you as a Christian, must begin to have what now? Dominion over. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you a story. You know, Pharaoh had a dream. The butler and the baker. How many people remember that? And the baker had a dream. He said that he was carrying a basket. Inside that basket was bread, all kinds of, you know, bakeries for the Pharaoh. And then the birds of the air began to eat that thing, feast upon it. Praise the name of the Lord. And another case was Goliath, when he wanted to fight David. So David said, come, and I will give your meat to the birds of the air. Praise the name of the Lord. These are unclean spirits. But what are they eating on? They are eating on our flesh. When I say flesh, I'm not speaking about this. Praise the name of the Lord. But I'm speaking about the principle of flesh that, you understand, works within us. They are unclean spirits that get their food. For instance, God spoke to Adam after he had sinned. He told the serpent, he said, serpent, upon your belly you shall crawl, and dust shall be your meat. Is that correct? Good. I will ask you a question. Serpents, natural serpents, physical serpents, do they eat dust? No, they don't eat dust. You know what they eat? They eat things, lizards. Sometimes they eat other snakes. They eat rats. The bigger ones eat bigger things, but they don't eat dust. So what was he talking about? Praise the name of the Lord. Dust speaks about carnality. Praise the name of the Lord. When we walk in fleshness, when we walk in carnality, when we walk in the works of the flesh, praise the name of the Lord, the enemy feeds from us. He takes life out of us. Praise the name of the Lord. He takes life from us. He will become food for the serpent. Praise the Lord. So these foul birds eat feet of us. When we allow pride to dominate our lives, we allow arrogance. You know, you see a Christian and he's so puffed up. Bible says that God hates pride. You understand? Because it's somebody putting himself in a position where he should not taking cognizance of God. If we know how great God is, we'll humble ourselves before him. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the foul birds speak about these spirits of pride and arrogance and deception and all kinds of things that are working in the church. Praise the name of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 18, John said he saw a vision. And he said that, somebody said that Babylon is fallen. Praise the name of the Lord. Babylon the Great is fallen and has become a cage, a habitation of every unclean bird, unhateful bird, and evil spirit. Now you may ask yourself, what is Babylon? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Babylon is that which was once the Lord's dwelling, but has now, do you understand, left God, if you want to put it that way. And he says, come out of her, my people. Praise the name of the Lord. Your life can become that. It used to be the dwelling place of God, but now it is now dominated by what? Unclean birds, unclean spirits, evil spirits and all that. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, man, you should have dominion over the beasts of the field. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? I want us to understand these things. It's important that we get them. There are things that have to do with our person, who we are. God is interested in who you are. Praise the name of the Lord. Much more than the things that you do. Are we together? First of all, you have to be the person that God wants you to be before you can do the things that God wants you to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? You see, because for you to bring an acceptable offering unto God, it's your personality. The offering that God requires from you is the offering of your soul. Romans chapter 12. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body and your faculties. You need to read that from the Amplified Version. Praise the name of the Lord. It's important. So I understand that he's speaking about not just your body, but all your mind, your emotions, your desire, your will, every expression of your person. Present it before God as what? As a living sacrifice. Let the thought that you think glorify God. Don't think evil of your brother. Praise the name of the Lord. Because God is not only interested in what you do. He's also interested in why you are doing what you are doing. God searched, said, and the Lord, I search the reins of the heart. The motives, I weigh the motives. It is the motives that determine the value of the sacrifice that you are bringing before God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said that it is the altar that sanctifies the gift. Praise the name of the Lord. Note that. See, it's the altar that sanctifies the gift. The altar speaks about the heart, your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. It is the condition of your soul that makes the offering of whatever value it is. Say that if a man wants to bring an offering to God, hallelujah, his heart must be what? Must be right. Praise the name of the Lord. And so here we are. God is saying that you should have dominion over the beasts of the field. You ask yourself, what is this? What are these beasts of the field? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, before we even continue, I want to show you something. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, just something that will help us to get a grasp of what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39, if I'm correct. 1 Corinthians 15, 39. Hallelujah. 1539. Are we there? Okay. He says here that all flesh is not the same flesh. Amen. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what do you think that could be meaning? It means that your problem is not my problem. Praise the name of the Lord. It means that my weakness may not be your weakness. Praise the name of the Lord. I may have a problem with anger. Do you understand that? You may have a problem in your mind with unclean thoughts. Praise the name of the Lord. You may have your problem with bitterness, unforgiveness. You may have your problem with pride. Do you understand that? Different flesh. Praise the name of the Lord. Different expressions of the flesh nature. He said, all flesh is not the same what? The same flesh. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together?
Yes.
Yes, please. Let's keep that at the back of our minds and we keep going. And so we see God saying here, have dominion over the beasts. Now, with first thing we talked about the birds, we speak about things that mainly have to do with our minds. Pride, arrogance, loftiness, conceit, deception. But here we're speaking of something that has to do with our emotions. Praise the name of the Lord. Anger. You know, the Bible says that the wrath of the king is like the roaring of a lion. Praise the name of the Lord. A wild beast, a devouring beast. He's speaking about emotional issues like anger, you know, bitterness, hatred. You know, he said that he that hates his brother is what now? A murderer. Somewhere in Leviticus, praise the name of the Lord, I think Leviticus chapter 17, God told the children of Israel, when you bring an offering before me, don't bring me an animal that has been torn by beasts. Praise the name of the Lord. Or a dead animal. Don't bring one that has been torn by beasts. You see it has been killed by a wild beast, like a lion or a bear or a leopard or something. And then you bring it and try to offer it to to me. He said, I will not accept it. And you ask yourself, what offering? We have said there that this offering is our life. Praise the name of the Lord. Our whole life. He said, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you understand that whatever you are doing, your life, you must see it as what? As an offering unto God. That God might be glorified with it. So if you're eating food, your prayer is that God be glorified in this food that I'm eating. Praise the name of the Lord. If you're relating with your husband, your wife, you say, God be glorified. Let this thing I'm doing be an offering unto you. If you begin to see your life in that way, you will not hurt your brother. Praise the name of the Lord. You will not speak evil of your, you will not even think evil, knowing that even the thoughts of your heart is what? An offering unto God. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the man that God desires to create. And he's still in the process of creating him. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So he said, don't bring an animal that has been torn by wild beasts. Now I'll give you a typical illustration in the scriptures. Joseph's brethren hated him. Praise the name of the Lord. They hated him badly. In fact, they wanted him dead. In fact, they wanted to kill him. It was because Reuben restrained them. So they sold him into slavery. And then they took his dress. They tore it. They took blood. They killed a small goat. Put the blood on the dress. And took it to their father. Praise the name of the Lord. And said, a wild beast had slain him. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when they were saying that, they didn't know they were judging themselves. They were saying that we are the wild beast. The beastly nature in us. When you look through the scriptures, God speaks a lot about wild beast. Wild beast. Wild beast. He speaks about a personality, not something, you know, that bites and devour. Paul was warning the church. He said that if you have bitterness and hatred, do you understand that? If you bite and devour, take heed that you don't consume one another. So we find that when he talks about striving and contention and quarreling in the church and hatred, he calls it biting and what now? And devouring. He says that we are becoming wild beasts. And he says we must have dominion over these things. He said, don't allow bitterness to rule your life. Praise the name of the Lord. When you begin to hate somebody, you are actually releasing evil spirits against that person. Praise the name of the Lord. See, the thought of your heart that you think is a form of energy. Praise the name of the Lord. Evil spirits use that energy to do wickedness. If you speak evil of a person, the word you speak have power. Spirits take it to do wickedness and mischief. Praise the name of the Lord.
In sorcery.
In sorcery. Hallelujah. So what you speak is very important. See, don't speak evil of one another, because you are actually releasing evil spirits to attack one another. Praise the name of the Lord. Whenever you see strife and contention in assembly, the enemy is able to move in there. He said, wherever there is strife and contention, there is every evil work. Praise the name of the Lord. Those words give power to the enemy. The thoughts you think give power to the enemy. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, don't speak evil of one another. Don't think evil of one another. He said, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let your heart dwell on these things. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see God saying we must have dominion over these beasts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we come to the next one. He said, creeping things. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Creeping things. You can read the whole of Leviticus chapter 11. Hallelujah. But it says, whatsoever creepeth upon the belly is an abomination unto you. Don't eat it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What does it mean to eat? In Bible, eating speaks of fellowship. Praise the name of the Lord. Eating speaks of what? Of fellowship. Partaking. Jesus said, eat of me. Praise the name of the Lord. Eat of me. Take in my life. Hallelujah. So you find a lot. The Bible talks about the clean animals and the unclean animals. Are we talking about physical animals? Okay, I want to show you something in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Praise the name of the Lord. I think the principle that you see there that will probably explain these things clearly. Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to start reading from verse 9. Amen. That's the story of Peter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The story of Peter. Now, something very interesting happened there. He says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, that's verse 9, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. Praise the name of the Lord. And a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners. Here you see the four corners again. Praise the name of the Lord. And let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Praise the name of the Lord. You see these things again? And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again, that second time, "Hallelujah, when what God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel received up again into heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let's jump up and see the interpretation of this vision. Amen. Verse 28. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation." Praise the name of the Lord. "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? I don't need forgetting any picture here. Hallelujah. Now, what Peter saw in the vision was birds, beasts, four-footed beasts, right? He saw creeping things, right? And he saw fishes in a vessel, four corners. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, that four corner tells that he's speaking about man, the soul of man. Praise the name of the Lord. And in that soul of man, we see different, you know, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the creeping things, and what now? The fishes of the sea. So he said, "Peter, kill, eat." Do you understand that? Partake of this. Peter said, "No, nothing unclean or common has ever entered my mouth." And the Lord says, "What I have cleansed, don't call unclean." Praise the name of the Lord. And now Peter is now explaining the vision. Because initially he was wondering what this vision meant. But by the time he got to Cornelius, hallelujah, and saw a Gentile, he now realized that God was saying, hallelujah, that no man should be called common or what? Unclean. So we now see that these birds, this have to do with what? With man, your personality, your person. Praise the name of the Lord. That we are talking much more than natural things. We're talking about the soul. He said he saw four-footed beasts. When the Bible speaks about four-footed beasts, we're speaking about a soulish personality. Praise the name of the Lord. Someone who is dominated by his carnal nature, his carnal appetite. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when we say creeping things, we're speaking about things that go on their belly. Praise the name of the Lord. The belly speaks about the soul. It speaks about the appetite. Praise the Lord. The Lord told the serpent, "Upon your belly you shall crawl." Now, the power of the serpent is in the belly. When the devil wants to test you, he tests you through your desire. Is that what the Bible says? He said that every man is tempted. James chapter 3. Praise the name of the Lord. When he is drawn astray of his lust. Yeah.
One.
James chapter
1.
Is that one? Okay, 1. 1:3. Okay, praise. Am I correct? Okay, praise the name of the Lord. He said that every man is tempted when he is drawn astray of what? of his Lord. The belly, the power of the belly is, you know, where the power of the serpent is in the belly. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he said, any man that creepeth upon his belly. For instance, Paul was talking about certain ministers. He said that their God is what? Their belly. Have you read that in your Bible? He said their God is what? Their belly. Their God is their belly. These ones are, he says, from such men do what? Turn away. You sound like you're not catching what I'm saying. Praise the name of the Lord. He said that this man whose God is their belly, from such men do what? Turn away. Don't eat of them. Don't partake of them. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And no, you see, this scripture creep. When a man's life is dominated by his appetite, whatever he wants, do you understand that? You know, he's led by his appetite. Everything he does is for personal gain. Praise the name of the Lord. He must always have a gain in what he's doing. Then that man is walking where? On his belly. There is something about these people that walk on their belly. Praise the name of the Lord. He says that, you know, I don't know if most things that creep on their belly, they go like this. Is that correct? Have you seen them? Lizards, crocodiles, all those snakes and all that. Their ways are not what? Straight. Have you seen Christians like that before? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not talking about snakes. We're talking about human beings with certain personalities walking in them. Their ways are not what? Straight. Praise the name of the Lord. And something about this, most of these creatures that walk like this, their tongues are what? Double. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, an elder must not be double-tongued. Hallelujah. People who cannot speak what? Straight. They cannot speak the truth. They say this thing now, why they mean the other thing. You see, an elder must not be double-tongued. Praise the name of the Lord. We must have dominion over falsehood, craftiness. Do you understand that? Lying. You know, all forms of deceitfulness. Praise the name of the Lord. In every aspect of our lives. You know, Paul said, renouncing the deceitful things. You understand? The hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Nor handling the word of God, what now? Deceitfully. Praise the name of the Lord. But by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, God is interested in our personality. There's a lack of character in the church today. Men can have anointing. But many lack what? Character. And some people believe that the fact that you have anointed, you know, of God, that means it's a license for you to do anything you want. Praise the name of the Lord. It does not work like that. Hallelujah. It does not work like that. There are certain requirements that God puts. In fact, it says that for certain animals to eat, praise the name of the Lord, there are two basic requirements. He said that the animal, for you to eat an animal, for a clean animal, it must chew the cord and it must have cloven hoof. These are two basic things. Now, to chew the cord means that, you know, this person, hallelujah, must have the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. It must be somebody who is rooted in the word. Praise the name of the Lord. His doctrine must be sound. The word he speaks must be sound. But it's not just enough to chew the cord. You know, chewing the cord means actually to digest. Praise the name of the Lord. So he must have cloven hoof. Meaning that not only is he speaking the right word, he must also do what? Walk in it. Praise the name of the Lord. He's not saying one thing and what now? Doing another thing. That's how you test every ministry before you can, you understand, receive from it. We must walk in this word. Praise the name of the Lord. The word of God is not just for preaching and all that. It's the life that we live. Praise the name of the Lord. And finally, God says you must have dominion over the fishes of the sea. What are these fishes? This speaks of our desires. Praise the name of the Lord. It speaks of our desires. That's where issues of sexual uncleanness. Praise the name of the Lord. Greed. Hallelujah. Immorality. Perversions. Lusts. You know, all of these things that have to do with our desires. You see that like the fish of the sea. There was a man called Jonah. Praise the name of the Lord. And God said, Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh. And the Bible says that Jonah went and joined a ship of Tarshish. I had time to look through Tarshish. If you study the Tarshish through the scriptures, Tarshish was a great commercial center. Praise the Lord. It was a great business center. So Jonah was supposed to preach the gospel. Jonah ran away to Tarshish. Hallelujah. To satisfy for his own personal interest. He went for business. Praise the name of the Lord. He went for his own pleasure. You know, when Solomon was king, he had ships that went to Tarshish. Praise the name of the Lord. They brought back all kinds of things. Even peacock speaks about vanity and pride. They brought back apes, you know, monkeys that speak about foolishness and all kinds of things. It was, but the point was that Jonah, God arranged for a fish to swallow him up. Praise the name of the Lord. He was overpowered by his own desire. Praise the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 1 said God gave them over to their own desires. They became slaves to their desires. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so God wants us to have dominion. These are the things that have had dominion over the church, over the people, over humanity. Praise the name of the Lord. But God is raising up a people who will have dominion over them. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the battle of our lives. This is what Christianity is all about. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, allowing Christ to begin to war in our soul. Hallelujah. To begin to bring a change and a transformation in our soul. As we begin to turn to the Lord, light begins to come into our soul. These creatures who I've mentioned are all creatures of darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. The word of God comes in as we open our hearts to this word. It has the capacity to change our soul, our personality, so that these things no longer have dominion and power over us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's so much that could be said about this, but I want to stop here. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes I can preach very long messages, but I know my brother will probably have something to say, and maybe we'll have questions to ask. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, but this is a man that God wants to make. Whenever you think about man, God says, let us make man. He ties it to, let him have dominion. So the personality that God wants is not somebody who is dominated by pride, jealousy, anger, lust, and uncleanness. But he's actually the man who is having dominion over these things. Praise the name of the Lord. These things are not ruling over his life, but he is ruling over them. So at the end of the day, when God finished making man, on the sixth day, praise the name of the Lord. If you notice something very peculiar about the sixth day, in the morning of the sixth day, God made the beasts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the evening of the sixth day, God made man. Praise the name of the Lord. The beast will always come forth first. Hallelujah. But the man will come forth later. But when God makes man, God will rest. Praise the name of the Lord. Because God has gotten the man after his own heart. Praise the name of the Lord. These beasts have held sway over the church for generations now. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But God is raising up a generation that will overcome. He said, be ye perfect, even as my heavenly Father is what? Is perfect. Praise the name of the Lord. There is this generation coming who will have dominion. Praise the Lord. And see, when God says, let us make man, you may be wondering who he was talking to. But he was also talking to you and to me. Praise the name of the Lord. The reason is that the process of making man is an ongoing process. You and I are involved. Praise the name of the Lord. The process of creation is still going as I'm talking to you. We are in the sixth day. Hallelujah. This is the 6,000 years. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Praise the name of the Lord. At this end of the sixth day, the closing point of the 6,000 years is the coming forth. It says that the earnest expectation of humanity is waiting for the manifestation of what now? The sons of God. Praise the name of the Lord. It is this man that God has always had in mind. When God said, let us make man, he had a particular kind of man in mind. The prototype of that man is Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. He wants to have a people who will be conformed unto the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren that look like him. Praise the name of the Lord. Some people say it is impossible. But this is the message that God is giving us to go out to tell the people. Hallelujah. That if we allow God, he will transform us so much that even your neighbors will not recognize you again. Praise the name of the Lord. He can change. The word of God, see, this perfect converting. You know what it means to convert? To change from one state, one condition, one form, unto what? Unto another. We have not known the power of God. You see that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but to him that everyone that what believeth. If you believe, hallelujah, we'll begin to open up, because people we have been in a situation in the church. People have accepted these things, these aspects of our character. They say that's me. Do you understand? Have you seen people talk like that? Is that's who I am? I don't like this. I don't like people to step on my toes. Do you understand that? You know, I don't like this. I don't like that. God wants to change all that. Praise the name of the Lord. They are not part of his creation. He said that if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That word must come to pass in your life. You understand? In every aspect of you. And God is saying that people must come who believe this word. And they will see that this word has power. Do you understand? To change us. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. I don't know what
I think it's a problematic reaction.
Okay, questions and all that. Okay, praise God. Well, maybe there are questions. I'll still stand here and maybe.
I think what has gone is so much.
Amen. So, questions?
Ok, on passe maintenant à l'étape des questions, des clarifications. Any question? Any clarification question?
Yes, go ahead. On my mind, you said when somebody does something to you, and you become mad, that the tendency is to think that that person is responsible. But it is really God using that person to
reveal you, what is in you.
Us. Yeah, reveal the struggle and the bitterness or the hurtful feelings that we have. My question is, when do we draw the line between holding somebody accountable for the behavior? I mean, if somebody does something wrong, of course, it reveals that I'm struggling with that particular emotion. But that person is accountable for their behavior. I'm not asking for us to absolve somebody from responsibility
No. Okay, I will explain. Now, the point, Jesus said something. There was a time that the Pharisees came to his disciples, or came to him. They said, your disciples, they eat with unwashed hands. You remember that? Contrary to the law of Moses. And Jesus said to them, you know, that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. In other words, your defilement does not come from, you know, what you eat. Yeah. Your defilement comes from, he said, out of the heart comes murders, adulteries. Do you understand that? Envies. All the terrible things, you know, they come from where? Within a man. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what defines a man. Now, what that means is simple. That people can do things to you. God holds them responsible for what they have done. But he also holds you responsible for your reaction to what they do to you. That is the one you are responsible for. You can't stop people from hurting you. There are people in this world who go out of their way to do all kinds of things. They took Jesus and nailed him to the cross. He prayed for them. Jesus said, he said it clear, he said, love your enemies, right? He said, pray for those who despitefully use you. He set an example. He said, they reviled him, he reviled not back. I mean, that's the standard. They reviled him, he did not revile back. They spoke evil of him, he did not speak back. You know, sometimes we use somebody's behavior to excuse our own behavior. Adam said, it's the woman that you gave to be with me. That's, he made me to eat the fruit. That's man for you. You're always looking for a reason, a person to point, so that you will not be accountable for your own situation. Praise the name of the Lord. So every man will take account for his own self. You do not have to go about carrying bitterness in your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean that people will not hurt you, but you do not have to allow those birds of the air to defile you. Abraham brought an offering to God. Genesis chapter 15. You know, Abraham, God told Abraham, said, Abraham, don't be worried. I am your reward. I'm your shield. And Abraham said, Lord, what? I don't understand what you're talking. I don't have a child. Praise the name of the Lord. And God told Abraham, say, look up. Hallelujah. Onto the, star. That's how many your descendants will be. Abraham said, how will I know this? And God said, okay, we're going to do something now. Go and bring some birds. Go and bring some animals. Kill them. Cut them open. The inward parts. You understand? Lay them open like this. Now, God is a God that desires truth. Where? In your inward parts. This is where the word of God that you see is supposed to leave this Bible and go and become what? A part of your soul. The inward part speaks about the soul, your personality. That's where this word must go. That's where this truth must be established. So that it affects your emotions, your mind, your will. It affects your reactions to people. Praise the name of the Lord. And so when he opened up these things and kept them, the Bible said that foul birds of the air began to come to defy that sacrifice. Do you understand that? Abraham had to stay there and drive them what? He did not allow them to defy the sacrifice. The enemy wants to defile your soul. He wants somebody to provoke you to anger so that you'll be so bitter. So bitter. So bitter. You know, some people have been overpowered in their soul by emotions. That, in fact, they have been devoured by wild beasts. Praise the name of the Lord. Because of that, they can't offer an offering unto God. Do you understand that? He said, if you're bringing an offering and you remember that your brother has an ought against you, hallelujah, leave the offering. Go and do what? Sort out. Because that offering you bring, God will not what? Accept it. So that's why, it's a lot of times people bring offerings. But the Bible said that we are a royal priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. Praise the name of the Lord through Christ Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. So what men do to you is one thing. How you respond to it, you understand? That is your own responsibility. So you see that, make sure that no root of bitterness springing up troubles you. Praise the name of the Lord. That is your own responsibility. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
Yes, yes. I'll go.
Okay.
Hier, selon ce que nous avons retenu.
Yesterday, what we understood or retenu.
Et que nous devons offrir notre âme à Dieu. C'est ça l'offrande qui l'intéresse le plus.
We need to offer our soul.
The best offering.
Okay, we need to offer the best offering.
Mm-hmm. Qui est notre âme. Mm-hmm. Aujourd'hui, vous êtes étendu sur les caractéristiques de cette âme de l'homme.
Today,
si j'ai compris.
Today you have discussed the characteristic of
cette âme,
the soul.
Si je comprends bien, on a expliqué ce que c'est cette âme qui ne plaît pas à Dieu.
If I understood well, you have explained
qui ne plaît pas à Dieu.
Qui ne plaît pas.
Plaisir, qui ne donne pas plaisir à Dieu.
Okay, the soul that does not give pleasure.
Et si vous pouvez également parler des remèdes, parce qu'il y a certaines circonstances qui se sont enracinées dans le cœur de l'homme, dans l'âme de l'homme.
Diabetes.
Il peut expliquer les
remèdes. If you have explained. You know what is like the problem. If you can also explain the remedy to
okay.
Il y a des choses qui se sont enracinées, qui ont pris des racines dans l'âme des hommes.
Yeah, there are some things that have taken root into the soul of a person.
Mm-hmm. On les a soulignés, on les a mentionnés.
You have mentioned them and you have highlighted them.
Mais le problème, si le frère peut parler des remèdes pour qu'on soit réellement que cette âme qui est enracinée par les mauvaises choses devienne une offrande agréable à Dieu.
Ok, if you can explain a remedy, whatever has taken root in the soul of man can be corrected so that it becomes a good offering to God.
À entendre et à dire, c'est facile.
Because to listen and to say is very easy. Mm-hmm. But
la peau remédiale pourrait intéresser les frères et sœurs qui sont ici.
Also the remedy or the solution would also interest the brethren.
Do you have an old calendar in your house? An old calendar and a marker, a felt pen or something. Just a sheet. The explanation will take 1 month. But there are three things that, three instruments of change that we find that God has given to us. The first one, the most common, is what we are doing now. That is the word. Okay, let's see. Okay, can I use this?
Yeah.
Okay. Can everybody see? Let me see. Let me put it. Sorry, we have to take the message for others. Still are not here. Okay. So there are three instruments of change. One is the word. Two is the Holy Spirit. And three is the blood. Those are the three instruments of change. And there's a scripture that talks about it. Remember the scripture? It said there are three that bear witness in heaven. Isn't that so? And also three that bear witness on earth. Okay, that's 1 John 5:8. Okay, so those are the three instruments that are given to rescue the soul. The soul has been taken captive by spirits. You know, Psalm 18 says that you might deliver my darling from the power of the dog. The darling, if you went to check it, the darling there means soul. Okay, so the soul is being devoured by unclean spirits.
So my soul is among the lions.
And all that, yes. But you see, it's not very palatable to us Christians because they'll be teaching us that the minute you get born again, you are in heaven. That is true. Paul says that you are seated with Christ where? In heavenly places. But when you read the scripture, you must always read it backwards. It also means that you can also be seated in hell. Why you are still on earth? Because man, the soul of man, is a dual creature. It can be that which contains or expresses heaven. It can also express what? Darkness or hell. This is, it's not very good. It's not a usually very palatable thing. That's what the church doesn't want to hear. But that is the truth. And the devil has been cheating us. While we're walking in hell, he makes us think we are being civilized. So you can find a soul dressed up in suit, but is actually walking in the realms of that. Is captive of unclean spirits. You know, so there are three things. Now, the picture about the tabernacle, it explains the various stages, various steps of delivering your soul. Because Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed once for men once to die, and then afterward the judgment. Now, what is it that goes for judgment? It is not your body. The body, Bible, I mean, there's a judgment that is for the body, but that's not what it says. The spirit is not what is judged. Ecclesiastes says that when a man dies, the spirit does what? Returns back. Isn't that so? The body does what? Goes down. And then the soul is the one, like you said, to apportion the blame. God has to judge. So it's the soul that must be saved. So the picture of the tabernacle, all the story, everything the Bible is talking about, shows the picture of what has happened to the soul, and then also shows the picture of how the soul is to be redeemed. And another thing that will help is for you to understand that the soul of man is the most unique, wonderful creation of God. Why do you think the devil wants your soul so badly? Because it's the most unique thing in the whole world, in the whole universe. It is the house of God. It's a dwelling place for spirits to express themselves. So the devil says, I will arise. I will sit over Zion. And I shall be what? Like the Most High. He wants the place. He wants that the life that is in you, the devil wants it. God made it for himself. It is God's house. Can you imagine God building a house for himself? You look over the, I went to Lake, what's the name now? Lake, I was just overhead. Beautiful place. And God made, so how much more within you? So the soul of man says, he said that we are fearful and what? Wonderfully made. So the soul of man is a realm of the universe. Your mind is a realm of the universe. That's the only way you can contain God. Don't you see? God, they say, God does not dwell in hands made with hands. You know, dwell in temples made with hands. So the only way for God to dwell in you is that you have to have such a capacity that is beyond human expression. And so to redeem that has to be according to his plan. And it has to be, it can't be, and you know, something you get born again today and then all the work is done. No. It has to be stage by stage. Okay. So we have, so you have the picture of the tabernacle. Okay. So that it's, if I can draw this, you know, so this is a courtyard. Okay, and then in the tabernacle there's another inner house. Now the Bible says that in Hebrews, it says that this inner one is what he calls the sanctuary. Because that's actually the house. It's covered. If you look at it, it's covered. But this bit is not covered. It's more like a reception. Okay? So here there's a gate and there's a door and then there's a veil. Alright? Now of course the scriptures for it, sorry, because it's always good for you to look at it and study it. So you can find it in Exodus 25 to 40. The whole, it's so detailed. Then you also see it in Hebrews. You can see it in Hebrews from actually 7 to 10. Okay. Now, they all describe this process of redemption. Now, like I said, there are three things. The blood. Now, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay, so if man died, he has to pay with his life. So the only thing to redeem the soul, the only way to redeem the soul is that the soul must die. If the soul doesn't die, then another soul must also die. So it's soul for soul. And the life of the flesh or of that individual is contained in the blood. So the first experience that the believer comes to, the very first place when that begins the process of restoring the soul back to that realm of light. Because see, God is light. And he was working with Adam in a realm of light. When Adam sinned, Adam had to be driven from that realm of light. He came into the realm of darkness. If you're not a light, the only other place you can be is where? Darkness. There's no in-between. But the church is creating an in-between realm for itself. Want a little bit of light, want a little bit of darkness. It can't work. It can't work. So the first place where the soul comes to is the place of Passover, being born again. So that is the first thing we find here. And this, there's an altar here made of brass. And the scripture, brass piece of judgment, you know, symbolically. So the soul comes to a place where it is judged. And the judgment comes, judgment of sin. The word of God comes, you know, and the Bible said that when we look at the word of God, it's like a mirror, isn't it so? You look at the mirror, you see yourself. And they say you should not be a forgetful hearer. You don't go away, oh, you're ready. So if you want to benefit from scripture, you must look at the scripture, receive it into yourself, and you respond to it. Then it brings a change. Okay, so the word of God is like, does that. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of God does also convince you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Okay, so the word is there, the Spirit is there, and then the blood. Now, when the blood, God makes a blood covenant with you. There's a difference between Elohim and Jehovah, or Yahweh. Elohim is Almighty God. It's not a person, it doesn't speak of a personal relationship with God. But Jehovah means the covenant keeping God. In other words, that God enters into a covenant with you. Okay, so the place where the believer comes into a covenant, the first place, it's at this brazen altar, the place of judgment. God cannot enter into covenant with you until you bring a sin offering. Now, that's what many people don't know. The blessings of God cannot be received without bringing a sin offering. That is to say, you acknowledge your sin. Say, Lord, I have sinned. And that's what Abel did. He brought a sin offering. He brought an animal. He brought blood. The other man brought what? He brought a thanksgiving offering. Say, God, let's not talk about my sin. Look, I'm doing very well in my business. You want to build a church? I give you money to build a church. You want a guitar in your church? I can buy all the guitars you want. That's not going to go anywhere. The first point is a sin offering. You say, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Let your blood come into my heart. So that is the first experience. Now, so when that comes, that soul, it begins the process of redemption. The blood comes. And the life of Christ in the blood begins to come into the soul. Remember, as a sinner, the thing is switched on. No more life is coming. So the first point of light is what the blood brings. So the blood of Jesus is the most important instrument of change. So the blood comes, and then the word of God also comes, and then the working of the Spirit. Now, at this altar, as he was explaining, there are four horns. Usually, there are four horns. Speaking of the power, you know, within the four dimensions, there are gates, there are strongholds, you know, and those horns must be bent, must be broken. So, the first point when God begins to deal with the soul is at the point when you get born again. There's a change because God begins to deal with the personality. That's not the end of it. It's just the beginning. Because we know it's not the end, because when the sacrifice is made, the blood is taken all the way to the end. So as you're going on, there's a work of redemption that's taking place. You know, so to cut it short, so the most important is the blood covenant. I remember with Abraham, God said, come, walk before me, come. You had to take him, and you made a blood covenant with Abraham. Say that I will be your God, and you'll be my people. You know, so to be a believer, and not just, you must know that you have a blood covenant, a blood relationship with Jesus Christ. You are covered by the blood. If God can open your eyes, you will see blood all over you. There is a mark on you that the devil cannot touch. Even when you are in sin, God covers you. You don't take it for say, do we continue in sin, that grace may abound. But that's part of God's grace, that God will cover you because He knows you are a child. But of course, you don't take it for granted. And so on. So the first experience is being born again. So the first journey, the first beginning. In fact, it says, in the children of Israel, remember when they came out of Egypt, what happened? God had to make a covenant with them in the night. So you bring the Passover, the lamb, slay it, take the blood and put it where? On the lintel. That's the lintel. The four corners of the soul. That is the doorpost and the lintel. So when you get born again, the blood is applied in the spirit. Blood is not liquid, it's a spirit. How many people here have seen the blood of Jesus? Have you seen? But you believe it's there, isn't it so? Because it's a spiritual reality. Amen. So it's there on your soul. And you're covered. So you don't need to be afraid. Nothing can touch you without the permission of God. So that is the beginning. That He's your Father. We have a covenant relationship with you. Now, if you have a covenant, then God must provide for you. You wake up in the morning, please provide for me. It's embarrassing. Every morning you are disturbing God, buy this for me, do this. He said, I know the things you need, and I will give it to you. So seek you first, the kingdom of God, and what? All other things will be begging you. They will be following you. You don't follow blessing. Blessing follow you. So if you are not a covenant child, you don't know. You are following after blessing everything. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. It shows that you don't have a covenant. When you know who you are, you know that the blessings will follow you, go on after you, and overtake you. Yeah. Hallelujah. So that is the beginning. That's those who have a genuine relationship. So you can go on and on and on. And finally, the devil cannot kill you. Do you know why? Revelation 1:5 says, Jesus has the key of hell and death. For the devil to kill you, he has to go to Jesus and take permission. Collect the key. They open the door and put you in. Hallelujah. And that's not going to happen. So Paul says that my life is hidden in Christ and in God. So it's a covenant you need to have. I mean, some of you are working in the U.S. They say the plane crashed the other day. So I'm sure tomorrow when they ask you to go and fly, you will sleep that night. You probably think you're going to die. It's real. We were in Bangui when we got the news. So yes, Ronald, he's one of your staff. I said, look, my friend, the next plane, get on it. Amen. Because you have a covenant of life with God. Hallelujah. So your life is not just going to go anyhow. So it's we're talking of faith. We need to have an anchor in God. And the anchor is not just unfounded. It has a basis. Hallelujah. And that basis is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you have it, nothing can shake you. Even if the bullets are coming, no problem. You just ask God, what should I do? Do I stay here or go somewhere? People are running around. You don't follow them. You are listening to God because God was watch over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Congo has a covenant with US and then somebody comes to attack Congo, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think Guy Kabila will start worrying himself? He just missed one phone call. And the US will be on ground. Isn't that so? It happened. France was fighting in Africa. Why are they there? Why was France fighting in Ivory Coast? Because of what? Covenant. It's really brethren. It works. So you must build your life on it. God knows you. He has a plan for you. He has an agreement for you. He says even when you don't believe, He Himself cannot change. Hallelujah. He's a covenant keeping God. Hallelujah. You can stretch on. It goes on and on and on. So that is the beginning part. But you see, that's a sweet one. But the point is that you need to move on beyond that. So the second experience that you find quickly is that you come to a point of baptism And this is the place of consecration. Now, the consecration is for the soul. It's for your thoughts. It's for your mind. It's for emotions, every part of you. Now, after you're born again, remember, you're coming from a realm of defilement. You're coming into the kingdom of God. And the first thing that God must begin to teach us is to walk in sanctification, to separate ourselves from unclean things. It says, come out from among them. Do not touch the unclean, so that I will receive you. You know, so sanctification is a very basic aspect of the salvation of the soul. You know, and then it is shown by the water baptism. You know, that the body, you bring somebody, you put him in water, and bring. You're actually speaking of the ceremonial cleansing of the soul. So it's a physical action that has a spiritual implication. What you are saying from that moment on, that you are being cleansed from the uncleanness of the world, of the world of darkness and so on, and you are being raised up unto newness of life. That you are committed to walk in righteousness, walk with God, and walk in the Spirit. Now, because the life of the ordinary unbeliever is a life of the flesh. Flesh means an activity that is not originated or inspired by the Spirit of God. That is what the Bible calls flesh. That is, you're just doing things. And you know, the mind, that's why you have the horns. There's a lot of power in the soul. You can do things. You can organize. Some of us have problems because we know too much book. We have PhDs. You can even get a second PhD if you want. So it's difficult when you have a problem to pray, to say, look, my PhD, stay in one place. God, what are you saying about this situation? Now, that is what begins to happen when you come to a point of cleansing. That is, you now begin to lay aside your own strength, the workings of your emotions, the workings of and all that. And then you now begin to bring it under the control of the Spirit of God. But you see, ordinarily, it's difficult for a man to do it. Say, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Say, it's not by power or by might, but by the Spirit of God. Now, it's only the Spirit of God that can bring your soul under discipline. So that's why you must come to the next level of baptism, which is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So what that now means is that the soul now begins to come under the control, under the domination, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. I remember, this is a soul that is used to doing things on its own. It's like a bachelor. You know, when you're an old bachelor, it's difficult to get an old bachelor to change. When he has a new wife, there's going to be war in the house because he has a way of cooking his soup. The wife comes and says, look, I'm from Goma. The other one is from Katanga. Maybe they fry the plantain before they put it. The other one says, no, I want it the other way. That's how it is. Because the Spirit of God, the things of God are opposite. Somebody slaps you. God says, go and tell him that you are sorry. Has God ever told you to apologize just to your staff that was disobedient to you? It happened to me. God said, I'm telling you sorry. How can I? And tell him sorry. What is God trying to do? Knock it down. It's not that, there are certain situations where you just know that, yes, you are the boss, but you are wrong. How can boss go and say he's wrong? That's not the management principle, Abby. The boss must. In fact, they even talk about now emotional intelligence. You know, you shout on people, intimidate them to get them to do things that they should do. You manipulate their emotions. That's an aspect of witchcraft that is coming into normal work experience. Hallelujah. So when you allow, so God, the Spirit of God now has to begin to turn that around. Begin to touch it. The way your mind has been operating, the way your emotions have been operating. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, it gradually begins to bring all those workings out. And now to bring them under the submission of Christ. It's a casting down imaginations and every thought and every high thing that does what? That raises itself against the knowledge of God. And having the ability to what? Avenge all disobedience when our own obedience is complete. You know. So for this soul to come into a place of power, first of all, it must learn to submit to God. You know. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it is of such power, the Spirit of God coming into your spirit. Remember, that's what it means. The baptism of the Holy Ghost means the Spirit of God comes into your spirit. That connection is made. Your spirit is filled and begins to influence the soul. Because the soul, by the way God made it, was made much, much lower than the spirit. And that's why that same man was made a little lower than the angels. This spirit will always have us under their control. But that is the glory of what God is planning to do. That a man that was made to be lower than the angels was able to overcome and grow in Christ. Because in Christ we become stronger than the angels and we can now judge them. That is the mystery of what God is working. You know, so that's why a woman must have power over her head because of the angels to teach them obedience. Amen. So the second place is the experience of baptism, when we are now beginning to be brought under the control and work of the Spirit. So the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not to speak in tongues, even though that is a byproduct. The main purpose is so that we can be holy, so that we can begin to bring forth the fruit. And Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is so and so and so and so. As we submit to the Spirit of God, then the fruit of the Spirit begins to come forth in us. Now, when the Spirit comes in, it is going to do something. It now brings us into a new dimension. Now, in this place, there's what the Jews call menorah, the lampstand. And 7 lamps, he mentioned it. 7 is the number of completion, fullness. It speaks of the full manifestation of the Spirit of God within you. So your soul comes into a new realm where the Spirit of God begins to give it discernment. The light there speaks of enlightenment and discernment of the Spirit. So you don't walk by flesh. You don't walk by intelligence. But you're walking by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. So that's what this place means. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that they are the sons of God. So your soul now begins to learn how to walk by the Spirit, not by its own abilities. So that is what you find there. It also speaks of revelation. The revelation into the things of God, revelation into the Word of God, revelation into the mind of God. And that gives you an ability to walk in the Spirit. So so we find that in this place, there is a lampstand. Of course, it has other dimensions. Then you find here a table. It's a dining table. Now, this is the place where the priests will eat. There are 6 loaves of bread on each row. There are 2 rows, making 12. And remember, Jesus had 12 baskets extra. Okay, so 12 speaks of fullness. The fullness of God's provision. There were 12 tribes of Israel. Now, those 12 tribes speak of 12, speak of 12 natures that must be overcome. Okay, so there were 12 truths. So as we partake of the Word of God, it brings forth a nature in us. It enables us to overcome. You know. So now Jesus is the bread, and you must, you know. He was talking about feeding. What do you feed on? The soul must feed on something, and there are all kinds of pleasures in the world, And the soul is like a belly. In fact, the Hebrew word is beaten. It means a bottomless hollow. And there is no pleasure on earth that can feed the soul. Yes, you can get some pleasure when you get a degree, when you get money, when you just, and those are temporary. It can never. The only thing that can feed and satisfy your soul is God.
Amen.
And that's what he shows here. So there are 12, you know, so Jesus said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you don't. Now, Christ is in three dimensions. There is the man Christ Jesus. Then Christ is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God is more than ink on paper. It is a living being. The Word of God can come. He said that the Word of the Lord came to me on so-so-so day by so-so-so time. So you can, if you are, as you grow in the Spirit, you will know when the Word of God is coming to you. You feel. He said, and when God speaks, he doesn't speak like I'm speaking. God speaks in a realm, in a dimension. Okay, to be better put, in a wavelength. Hallelujah. There's a wavelength for God. When you tune into that wavelength, you begin to hear God speaking. Hallelujah. And usually, like I said, anger, bitterness, all those things that happen in the soul, they crowd out. They make it, they block your ability to receive, to be connected, or to be hooked onto that wavelength. It's like in this room, when you put on a TV or any or whatever transmitter or receiver rather, what happens? You begin to get images, voices, because you begin to connect to certain wavelengths. Now God said, Bible says, God was walking Adam in a cool. You say cool of the day means, if it means ruach, it means in the realm of the spirit. He said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we do what? We have fellowship with one another. So our wavelength is the wavelength of light, the realm of light. When my heart is clean, when my heart doesn't have any problems, my heart is released to relate to God. Hallelujah. And in that, when you are at that position, whether in prayer, and usually when you fast, what happens? Fasting keeps down all the noises of the flesh, so that the spirit is free to do what? To receive. God has been speaking. It's just that you are not tuned in to actually to hear what God is saying to you. So everybody must learn to tune in to that wavelength. And you begin to hear what God has been saying to his people. Say, what I say to you one, I say to all. God spoke to Peter, so to Paul, go and meet somebody. He will pray for you. Sorry, he spoke to Ananias, go and pray for Paul. You know so? And he went to Ananias, to Paul and said, a man called Ananias is coming. He will pray for you. Two of them heard that word at the same time. Hallelujah. Amen. When God says a man will marry a woman, if God speaks it, if the woman is sensitive, she will hear that word. If the man is sensitive also, he will also hear that word. Now, so when you come to the church, what the church wants to do, if the church go and stay, if the elders say, well, let us go and pray, what they want to do is to what? Tune up into the spirit. If that word has been spoken by God, they will also hear it. So he said, by the word of two or three witnesses, every word of God is fulfilled. So if God says, go and do so and so in the church, something that involves you and other people, if it is God that spoke, the other people will also hear it. So he said, the word of God is not of any private interpretation. That is only God that is speaking to you. Others cannot hear. It's not true. And that is the problem with the Pentecostal church, because it's only the pastor that hears. It's not true. We all are priests. And if you rise up in the spirit, you will hear what God is saying to you. He said, let him that has an ear do what? Hear what the Spirit of God is doing what? Saying to the churches. So God speaks in a dimension, in a realm. So anywhere, just like if Obama is speaking, we are here in Goma, we will hear. Because that is the realm of the spirit. In the spirit, you don't hear heightened. If a man has a wrong spirit and enters this room, those who are spiritually sensitive will pick it. So in the spirit, you are open. You cannot hide anything. Hallelujah. If you are sensitive as a husband, when your wife has a problem, you know. Because you can feel it. Hallelujah. Say amen. You can feel it. You can feel it. You know something is wrong. Same thing with the other way. If your wife is, you know that something is wrong with my husband. You say, honey, what's wrong? Say, no, everything's fine. You know the man because you can feel his spirit. You can know that something is wrong. And that is the heart that we should have in the fellowship. When you come together, a brother has not eaten and he's shouting and making noise. If you are sensitive to the spirit, you'll be able to know that there's a problem here. Hallelujah. So we can, we are sensitive to the spirit. He can lead us. So the things of God are very easy, are very simple. We can, when we begin to walk with God, we see that walking with Him is, that's the table. There are so many dimensions, but the most important thing actually, the work of the Spirit, the work of the Word of God, is to bring the soul of man to a position, the most important position of offering. It's a table made of gold. It is a square with horns, and all the horns are bent. And the sacrifice given in that place is the incense. And usually before they bring it, they will take the blood and touch on the four corners. That's what we were talking about, the offering. And that is the offering of the soul. Now, remember, the soul has been offered to the devil. That's what we talk about, wrong, evil thoughts. The devil get people to attack you. And what he does, he wants you to bring forth, offerings that that are acceptable to him. Offerings of darkness. There are two signals you send out. Light or darkness. If you send out light, darkness, evil spirits come to you. Spirit of bitterness. The spirit of God will withdraw from you. You're uncluttered. But the more you walk in the light, the spirit of God will come to you. Hallelujah. Light will attract light. Darkness will dispel light. God cannot stay in the midst when somebody is always complaining, bitterness, grumbling, and all that. But if you are blessing God in the midst of, I give you a secret. Whenever you feel a wrong thought about someone, do something. Start praying for that person. Within 1 second, the devil will run away from you. It's something I have practiced and I work with. If I start feeling something about somebody, I know the devil wants me to start thinking evil. And the devil wants to use those thoughts to attack that person. And in the married relationship, that's what happens to us. If something happens to your husband and your wife or your relations, you start thinking evil and it begins to build a lot of tension. And what to do is to begin to pray. And when you start praying immediately, you see that life will come. Finally, this table goes across the veil and comes into the Holy of Holies. That is the presence of God. Now, in the tabernacle, in the New Testament, there are no veils. In the New Testament, there is no outer court, holy place, or Holy of Holies. Because the New Testament is according to the tabernacle of David, in which you come in and the glory of God is there. So what he's saying is that for us, we can have access to the very throne of God. In fact, you can dwell there. Hallelujah. And what he's saying is that in that case, we have the privilege of always being in communion with God. You can hear God and God can hear you. You can minister to God and God can minister to you. These are just summaries of the dimensions of the steps that you go through. And it's something that you walk through. You begin to walk in the Spirit. You begin to, dwell in the Word of God. You begin to be covered. You always remain under the blood. These are aspects of practicing the presence of God. And as you begin to walk in those, you will see that gradually your soul begins to be transformed. You see yourself gradually changing. You will see the character of Christ coming forth in you. And you see that the old things are going away. Now, it's something that you have to do. Nobody can do it for you. You know, so it's a personal work and a personal experience. This is just a summary. I believe that when God gives us time again to come, we'll be able to have more time, at least to be able to look through the scriptures, and we can explain it and then become. But it's something that you can study yourself. Hebrews 7 to 10 and Exodus 25 to 40. You know, you can see it's almost 15 chapters because it's very detailed. There are similar other dimensions that you find. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry for.
No.
Bénissons Dieu pour toute cette précision.
We thank the Lord for all the.